absolute of ours embrace. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out, sir.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of rescue.
This morning, amen. We want to listen to the word of God as we rise up to pray something tonight. On Sunday, we started a very important subject that we will be finishing this coming Sunday, amen. Oh, clap your two hands for the Lord. And this evening, I'm going to continue, and then Sunday, we will finish it. Amen. And we will rise up to pray into the coming month shortly. Amen. We spoke about what I call understanding the power behind vows. Understanding the power behind vows. Amen. Oh, amen. Please help me tell someone by you, there is power in vows. Tell him there is tremendous power in your vows. Any vow that you make, either vows to a friend, vows to a husband, a wife, marital vows, vows to people, vows to any vow, or vow even to God, any vow that you make carries tremendous power that can change our lives. Amen. Oh, amen. And we saw that a vow is a solemn promise. A vow is a promise that we give. A promise, a solemn promise to perform a specified thing. And it goes beyond monetary issue. When we talk about vow, it goes beyond monetary issue. We have explained that. And we even said that when vows are made between two parties, it becomes a covenant. It becomes an agreement with mutual benefit. That's what a covenant is. An agreement with mutual benefit. So David and Jonathan had a vow which became a covenant. There is God and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There is a vow. Then husband and wives have vows. So vows can exist between friends and can exist between couples. Then we looked at some biblical examples of vows to God, people who made vows to God. Then we saw that one, Jacob, vowed to God when he was at Bethel. He poured oil on the stove after he had the revelation, and he made a vow to God that if you go with me, I'll pay a tithe of everything that you give me. I'll pay a tithe of it unto you, 10%. Unto you. And the Bible says that God visited him about 20 years and over. God appeared to him and told him, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed and where you made the vow. So it means that God still remembered the vow even 20 years after. I don't know the vow you have given to any human being, but God remembers it. I don't know the vow that you have made to God, he remembers it. It may be 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that you vowed to the Lord, or that you vowed to a fellow man. God remembers that vow. The man might have forgotten, but God remembers. Hallelujah. We also saw Hannah's vow to God, how Hannah made a vow to God. When Hannah prayed and was looking for a child, she made a vow that if only you give me a son, I'll give that boy back to you to become a priest. I'll not keep him. I'll just give him to you. Just give me a son. And he made that vow. And when she made that vow, God heard the vow. And the Bible says that God gave her the son that she requested for. So, and then Japhtah, we also saw the story of Japhtah. I think we ended on that. How Japhtah, an outcast, someone who was not used for anything in the family, they didn't regard him. He was a nobody, literally a nobody. How God picked him. And God used him because of the vow. He made a vow to the Lord that if you lead me to this battle and give me victory, then everything that comes out of my house to meet me first, I'll offer it to you. Whether animal, human being, whatever, I'll sacrifice it to you. Then the Bible says that the Lord said, you are dead. Then he went to the battle and God helped him. And he won the battle against a mighty nation, the Ammonites. The Bible says that when he was coming back, his own daughter, his only child, came out to welcome him. And when he saw the daughter, he just fell on the ground, tore his clothes, and started crying. He says that, my daughter, you have troubled me. You have joined the people who have troubled my life. You have joined them because I have made a vow to the Lord and I cannot turn back. Tell somebody, when you make a vow to God, don't turn back. When you make a vow to God, don't turn back. But God respects vows. So Japhtah had to fulfill the vow as painful as it was. And after he did that, then God now crowned him. God now gave him the throne. Amen. God now enthroned him. If he had not fulfilled the vow, he would have still not gone to the throne. Because he had deceived God. And God now killed him instantly. God respects vows. And we must also respect vows. Tell somebody by your respect vows. Now, no matter how simple your vow, I don't know what vow you give God, I don't know, give your life to Him, it's a vow. Even the prayer of salvation is a vow. I promise to follow you all my life. Tell somebody it's a vow. Or you don't remember the words. Think about the words you said to the Lord. Lord, I'll serve you all my life. It's a vow that will speak against you in heaven one day and go for judgment. You give a vow and you must slay them. And somebody gave a vow to serve God, you know, after this year, I'll be a shepherd. Give a vow. You see the Lord, give a vow to God, God, I am stopping this evil that I'm doing, but after this year, I'm not doing it again. And you vow to the Lord. And you have gone back and you are doing it. You are busily doing it. Even more than you vow. More than you vow you are doing. Ask somebody, do you remember that vow? Do you remember? Chapter said, you are worried me. Because you have added to my trouble. Vows are powerful. Amen. Oh, amen. And vows are spiritual weapons. Vows are powerful spiritual weapons. Why am I saying that? Because number one, vows secure 100% answered prayer. Vows are powerful spiritual weapons. How do you say vows in English? It's a spiritual weapon. When certain things are, when you are praying about certain things and you seem not to have an answer, one of the ways to secure an answer is by taking the next step, by giving God a vow. And we saw that in the life of Hannah. She kept going to the temple to pray year after year, like some of you have been coming year after year. But somehow she was still barren and could not have children. Until the day that she said, enough is enough. Let me put this step to you. He said, Lord, this boy that I am praying for, this child, if you give me the child, I'll give it back to you. And God said, oh, really? You have engaged a weapon I can't resist. You are not just asking, but you have now entered into another spiritual weapon, a vow. Amen. That's in verse 11, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. Look at it quickly, quickly. And she vowed a vow. Look at your projection well. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, a male child, then I will give him unto you all the days of his life, and there shall be no reason like something. I will never promise him. I will give him to you as a priest, as a holy thing. I will not let him live a normal life, spend all his life in a temple. Amen. And that was what brought an end to her barrenness. A vow is a prayer booster. I say a vow is the what? A prayer booster. And here it will be shared on Pai Bomu. What? Disable Kina. Amen. That thing that can strengthen your prayer. That thing that can empower your prayer. That thing that can make your prayer irresistible. It's like God cannot say, it's like you have cornered God. God, give me, I'll give it to you. You cornered him. Remind you, it's not with a deceptive heart. So let's say, if I get to America, or when I get to America, I'll do this for you. Every month, I'll send money so that you can build the church. But just let me get to America, and you'll see that in your head, you know you are lying. The one you are talking to knows you more than you know yourself. Tell somebody, the one we are talking about knows you more than you know yourself. So when God looked into the heart of Hannah, God knew that Hannah meant business. So see, don't vow if you don't mean business. Advise somebody, but you don't vow if you don't mean business. If you are not damn serious about it, don't vow. You are not, because you can't deceive God. If you say it with a deceptive heart, God knows. You will laugh at you. You will know everybody. But if you are very serious about it, that Lord, it will help me to get this job. First 3 months of my salary, I'll keep all to you. That is a vow that can provoke something for you. God, I've been jobless for a long time. If you help me to get a job, first 1 year, I will not touch my salary. Hey, are you crazy? God wants people like that. Look at a woman who has not given birth before. And as at this time, she has prayed year after year. Not like she was not going to church. The Bible says that every year, read from verse 4, verse 5, every year she goes to the temple, they go and sacrifice, they go and pray with the husband. And she will not keep them. And the husband has to marry a second wife because he needs a child. And by this time, she was old. She has crossed her 40s into 50. So there's no. Then such a person will tell God that if you give me a child, I'll give it back to you. Share. Abdulwaba, who did you say? You have probably Abdulwaba out here. Let it change this one. Abdulwaba, let it change this one. Obi Aoni, but Onyababa, Abdulwaba, is a king. So true or not true? So, for Hannah to say that I will give the boy to you was a very big issue. It's a very, very big issue. Because she needs a son. That's why she came to cry. So, what is, I should give you a son, and you give the son back to me, you don't see the son again. Every day the son will be in that camp. And they are not from that place. They come for sacrifice and move back to their hometown. It's like the church is in Accra here, and you are coming from Kumasi. And every year you come here to come and pray for like 3 days, and you go back. And then you came this year and you said, Lord, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. He will serve you in this house. That means that you are not going to see that, that every year you see your child either once or just 3 days. There's no telephone that you can call. There's no video call that you can check on your son. And your son will not be by you for you to also feel like a mother. That means that just give me a son and make me motherless. I like that. Give me a son. Let me know that I'm giving birth. At least. Because people are insulting me that I am barren. Just let me have one son and take him away. I don't have a problem. That is a dangerous man. Some of you have been knocking on the setting floor. The last key that can open it is a vow, which you are not using, which you don't want to use. A vow can open it for you. A simple vow. A vow from your heart. Lord, I need this. Can open that door. And your life will never be this. But I am in you. You can give them another vow. Lord, if you can open it, you can stand up for me. Wherever I stand, I will represent you. The vow is not fully managed. If you make me a superstar, I promise you that every stage that I stand on, I'll make a more tackle. It's a vow. But it's not easy. That means I'll represent you. A vow that will work. A chance to work. It's a prayer booster. It's a prayer booster. Tell someone about you, your miracle is waiting for a vow. Someone was waiting for a vow. And Hannah was not ready to bring the vow. Until that day, as she said, enough is enough. After she made that dangerous vow, God released her somewhere. I pray that somebody somewhere will be released tonight. I said, someone somewhere is being released tonight. Your own somewhere will be released tonight. Can I hear your amen like thunder? Clap your two hands for them. And in verse 27, she came back and she said, this is the boy which I cried. This is the boy I have brought. This is my vow that I gave. This is my vow. Number two, the powerful spiritual weapon of the vow. Number two, vows facilitate spiritual breakthrough wherever there is a resistance. Wherever there is a stubborn resistance. Like you are trying, but the thing is not changing. It's like you are pushing. It's not like you are lazy. You are forcing. It's not like you are not trying. You are trying. Right? It's like the thing is not working. You need a vow. Yeah? A vow is like that thing that if you watch military actions or action movies where the military men, you realize that when they want to open a locked door and they try to open it, it's not opening. There is something that they can drop in front of the door, like an explosive. And the explosive will blow the door open. Boom! Sometimes there is something that they can fix on the lock. And that thing will blow the lock. Boom! And it will open the door. Now that is how a vow is. When you are being resisted in the spirit, when you are knocking, you see, the Bible says in Matthew 7:7 that ask you shall receive, isn't it? Oh, hello, talk to me, isn't it? Seek and you shall find. Knock, the door shall be open. So why have you been asking and you are not receiving? Why have you been knocking and it's not opening? So if you are knocking and it's not opening, use the explosive called vow. A vow can explode the door. And you will enter into your door. That will be your story in Jesus' name. I said, that will be your story in Jesus' name. If somebody is rising up, the Lord, if you help me to get married this year, I don't have what it takes. I don't have the money. I don't have the people. If you can help me, Lord, I will do A, B, C, D for you. It will be
expect
that marriage door open. And you should mean it. You should mean it. Otherwise, it's nowhere. It should be something that is burning in your heart. Now, Lord, I need it, and I'm ready to do this if you can give it to me. I'm ready to do this if you can give it to me. I'm ready to do this, Lord. You are afraid to make vows that two things in God. Either you are not serious about what you are looking for, or you yourself are unfaithful person. And God can bless you. So Hannah broke through the yoke of barrenness with an explosive call, vow. It breaks resistance. I don't know what has resisted your life for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. Employ the power of vow. I'm telling you. Don't just pray and just, Lord, if you give me this job, Lord, I am going to do this in honor. This project that is going on, Lord, I'm going to fix every glass. Or this that is going on, I'm going to do this for you. Or for 1 year of my life, I'm going to do this. God, give me this, I'm going to do that. Anything that is on your heart, anything that you think is important to you, and give the Lord something. You see, the Lord is a businessman. Give him a transaction. Transaction. It's like, what is the need for me? That's how God is. What is the need for me? God bless me. God bless me. God should bless you for what? What is the need for God? Hannah said, in this son you will give me is a priest for you. And God said, I like that business. I like that. So that prayer you are praying, what is the need for God? God, give me a visa. Give me a visa. What is the need for God? So that you be a showman. So you throw your weight about. You don't even know God. You ended church. You graduated church. Lord, give me a husband. Give me a husband. Then you become what? Lord, give me a child. Give me a child. And the day you give birth, you retire from every ministry. That's why. What is the name of God? What is the name of God? It's very, very important. Number three. Vows secure victory in battle or intervention. Vows secure victory in battle or in intervention. Like Jephthah, we saw the story of Jephthah in Judges 11, 31 to 32. How Jephthah was an untrained person. Today, we have street fight and we have real boxing. The rules are different. How many of you know that? The fight that is on the street, there is no law. You can take in anything is a weapon, stone, knife, anything can be a weapon. There's no law. But if you want to fight in a ring, the one that will be awarded, there are laws. Now, Jephthah was not an army person. Jephthah was not trained to know how to combat on the warfield. Jephthah was great in the ghetto, fighting the ghetto fight, and having a lot of people following him, but he didn't know how to fight with an army. They will not be able to withstand their weapons, their bombs, and all that. So when he was invited to go and wage that war, he said, this one I cannot. This one I will begin. I've not been trained how to shoot. I've not been trained how to draw a sword. I've not been trained how to fight. That kind of level of that. He needed help. He needed an intervention that God himself would have been seeing and give him victory so that he can rise to the capital. Now, I don't know, but there may be somebody here who is in need of an intervention, because what is facing you is bigger than you. What you are dealing with is stronger than you. What you are dealing with is mightier than you. And you turn to the left and to the right and like, Lord, if you don't come in, I am finished. that in such a situation, one of the weapons that will work so much for you is the weapon of the Lord. It will help me to be able to come out of this case, of this police case. Lord, I will do this. Lord, if you can help me to be able to achieve this, that's what, Lord, I'm going to do next year. If you can help me to complete this project, Lord, I am going to do ABC. That is how we engage God. In prayer, we boost it around. And it breaks down and brings intervention in every battle. May every battle that is turning against you begin to turn to your favor. Let your amen be a loudest one. I shall say every battle that you seem to be losing, whether financial battle, whether business battle, whether marital battle, whether family related battle, I pray for you that as we get the power of power, may God take over that battle. I shall may God take over that battle. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. Say, the Lord is taking over my battle. Or say, the Lord is taking over my battle. Jesus, clap your two hands together. Taken by your matter. Lord, if you help me to succeed, if you help me to pass this exam, this is what I'm going to do. That's how to secure intervention. Judges 11, 31 to 32. Then number four, power in vows is that vows secure divine partnership. It secures God's involvement in your life. It invites God into the situation. Jephthah invited God into the battle. He was going to fight, but he made a vow to God that if only you help me to win, then I am going to give anything that meets me first to you. Then God says, okay, oh yeah, let us go. So he invited God into the battle through vow. Jacob invited God into his life. He was a thief. He had tricked his father, the old man, and taking a blessing that didn't belong to him, and was on the run, was running. Then he had a dream as he lay at one place, and then he saw that God was in the heavens. Up there, an angel was, and he said, then he said, God, I need you in my life. If you can help me, then this and that is what I'm going to be doing for you, if you can help me. And then he invited God, and we saw it in Genesis 28, the verse number 20, that if only you will be with me and you will go with me and you will deliver me and you will bless me and you then I will do ABC. Look at it. He said, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, then what will I do? Then I will do ABC. Hallelujah. I'll give him 1/10 of the that he gives me. Every blessing he gives me, Lord, I'll divide it into 10 and I'll give you 1%. So that is how to attract God into your life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying from the back? You attract God into your business by giving a back in connection with you. I love you. And make it, no meaning to make it. Mean it. And when God does it, do it. Because that is how you sustain. That is how you have more. Lord, if you can help me in this career, for me to succeed in this sports, in this career, in this music, in this ministry thing, if you can help the church grow, Lord, this is what I'm doing. Watch God. Unless it's not from your heart. Number five, vows when fulfilled provokes multiplication and increase. Vows when fulfilled provokes increase and multiplication. Wow. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 20 to 21. When Hannah fulfilled her vow, Hannah did before she said, "I mean, more children." Hannah just asked for one, and God gave me 5 extra. Everybody say 5. 5 extra. God, he asked for only one. That if you can give me one, I'll dash it to you. And God said, "Okay, I'll test you and see." And God gave him the one. And then she was faithful to fulfill it. And she gave back the one to God and went to her home. Look at it. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, "The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which you have lent to the Lord, for this point that you have given to the Lord. May God give you more seed. For this vow that you have paid, may God do more for you." That's the prayer he was praying. And they went on to their home. After the pastor prayed that prayer, they just went home. They didn't fall down under the anointing. They didn't shake. No ushers, ushers. The pastor just said, "As you have fulfilled what God asked you to do, may God reward you." That was all. Some of you come to me and I just pray a simple prayer for you and you wonder whether it will work or not. And you cannot go to my spiritual father. You cannot go to Abishop as Nazari. Because after Nazari, when you go to him, wait less than 1 minute. In fact, one day, I was having a lot of issues from years ago. And I felt like I was losing a spiritual battle. And I needed help. I ran to Abishop. And I gave him a list of who my father was. And all my uncles and pastors in my family and the issues that came. And like, I gave him history. Like, in fact, I took my time to give him history so that he would take his time to pray. Like the way you come to me, you want me to understand. When, in fact, by the time you finish telling me your dream, I'm tired. By the time of you don't see, by the time you finish talking, I'm tired. I took my time to explain everything. And what is happening to me currently that I have run to him because I can see that something is wrong. Well, I believe there's a son coming. Then I knelt down. Then he took oil. Then he anointed me. And he said, "Satan, take off your hands." That was all. Then the one minute, as I was getting up, I was so discouraged. But afterwards, I was free forever. Amen. Clap your 2 hands for that. Meanwhile, I didn't fall down. I was expecting that in the name of Jesus. And you know, he has a very soft voice. Satan, get us. You don't like such a prayer. My dad has been telling me, wants me to tell you that I see some 3 demons. The one is wearing white, one is wearing gold, one is wearing gold. I think they are blasting it. Then you know that I went to daddy and daddy saw this. After they tell you all those things, what do you do? Pray just a prayer. And then that's it. Last 2 weeks, somebody very close to me who have been chasing Archbishop for a very long time. For about 2 years, anywhere he sees Archbishop's banner or poster going to that, he will go there because he's suffering from stroke. And so he'll let his children carry him there. Anywhere you see Archbishop's program, he will go. And he was not getting healed. He spoke to someone to talk to me. Whether I can take him to our mission. So I said, "Okay, this one is a close bed that I have to take him to the Archbishop." And the Archbishop just came out. Less than 30 seconds. Then he said, Prince, what is it? Judas, I can tell you, Judas. Then he also put his hand. Then he just put spirit of stroke and bind him. Then Lord, then he said, you are well, go. And the man was sitting down. He said, yes, finished, let's go. Go. That's how the Archbishop prays. He prays simple. Now this pastor, after they have brought their son, said, may the Lord give you seed from this womb. Now may God give you children from this womb. That was no horses, no calling. Then verse 21. And the Lord visited Hannah. And the Lord did what? So that she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters, minus Samuel. Minus who? Samuel. She conceived and bore 3 sons. She had for 1 son. God gave her extra 3 plus 2 bonuses, women. Who take care of her when she's old? When she can't walk, do nurse. Women are good for that. They can take care of you in your old age. Sons, they can't take care of you in your old age. But if you have a daughter can sit by you, bath you, take care of you. Uh-huh. So every house must get a daughter. Amen. And get sons also. Amen. So the Lord, but you see, look at verse 19. Look at verse 19. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat. This Samuel, when they brought him, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. That means that after they brought the boy, every year they kept coming. They still didn't have a child. They have fulfilled their vow, but they have not gotten the extra children. But they kept coming to God. Let me tell some of you. This is not for everybody, but maybe for some of you. There are some of you and you have obeyed God to do something that was really foolish in quotes, silly in quotes, wild in quotes, unbelievable in quotes, something difficult in quotes. And afterwards, you are still waiting for, okay, so what will happen? And it seems like nothing has happened. You're like, oh, I didn't hear from God. Or I shouldn't have done it. Or it was not God that was moving me. No, it doesn't work that way. There are things that when you do for God, it has time. Yours is to obey. Tell somebody, yours is to obey. And leave the rest to God. God says, do this, and you do it. That's all. It may take 1 year. It may take 2 years. It may take 3 years. It may take 10 years. But when the time is up, God will visit you. And he will tell you, because you did so and so when you were 18 years old, that is why I have blessed you with this now that you are 30 whatever. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? There are vows that when you keep or when you make and you fulfill, you don't get instant answer immediately. That, I vowed 1,000 Ghana cedis and I bought it. And once I bought it, boom, I had 10,000. Praise the Lord. Then others will be giving their testimony. Then you are sitting down. Like, I gave some. But what happened? Or I didn't hear from God. Or I didn't do it well. Tell somebody, that's not an issue. Sometimes the fulfillment of vow will take time to manifest. God is the one with the time, not you. Who is the one with the time? God is the one with the time, not you. You think that, once I give 100 cities, the moment I stepped up, because somebody testified that, when daddy says we should give an offering, and I gave 100 cities, and I went down there, somebody dashed me 500, praise God, and you heard that meeting, you gave your 100. And when you went outside, the 20 Ghana left in your pocket got lost. Somebody got 500, you will be lost. You will be lost the last 20 Ghana. What sort of giving is this? Is that where we pay tithe? God will open the windows of heaven. Pay tithe. Look at the way of trouble in the mind. No. When you pay, the Bible says that you have need of patience after you have done the will of God. Tell somebody you have need of patience. You have done the will of God. After Joseph kept himself and refused to sleep with somebody's wife, where did he end in palace? No, it ended him in a prison. And he stayed in the prison not less than 2 years. He could even. But I thought when we do a good thing, God must reward us, not punish us. But when he did a good thing, it took him 2 years of suffering in the prison. So sometimes, even after you have done the right thing, you may be hungry for a while. Sometimes after you have done the right thing, they may sack you from the work because you didn't steal. You didn't help them to steal. Then they sabotage you, really. Then they sack you. Yeah, but Pastor, I did the right thing. So why did God wash it? God washed it because God has a plan for you. It's part of the plan. I said what? It's part of the plan. When I read this portion of scripture, it spoke to me because there are many things I have done that I have not seen what I'm expecting. Like yesterday, I was speaking to one of our pastors. I told him that, listen, don't be discouraged. If you are doing the ministry and you are doing whatever you know and you have not gotten the kind of resource you want in the church and the church is not growing the way you want it to grow, just find out whether you are doing the right things, you are working the principle. If you are doing the right things, then don't be troubled. Keep doing it. Don't give up. Keep doing it because all that is left is for time. When the right time comes, you will shock how the church will start growing. Or if you are clapping, do that better. You'll be shocked. That, wow! The same evangelism, the same preaching, the same thing. Nothing has changed, but thousands are coming. Rescue time is going to come. You'll be shocked how people come to the church. And we have not changed any strategy. The same. So we know. I just matter. Tell somebody, keep doing the right thing. Keep sowing. Keep watering it. At the right time, harvest to be your portion. If you are that person, you will clap your hands. Clap your hands. So year after year, she went. But she did not get anything until that year that the Lord gave her. So when you fulfill your vow, you get multiplication and increase. She gave one son. God gave her 3 sons, 2 women, 2 ladies. That is increase. Say increase. As you are fulfilling every vow you have made to the Lord, may God give you more than you can carry. Your amen is a suspicious one. And may God give you more than you asked for. That is why chapter after chapter fulfilled it. The Bible says that God handed over the throne. He increased and had given more than what he gave to the Lord. So the power of a fulfilled vow cannot be underestimated, because it will certainly produce results either now or later. Amen. So don't forget that the power of vows are in its fulfillment. You understand? The power of every vow, powerful your vow is, can never be seen until you fulfill what you said you will do. That, Lord, I want to do this for you. When you finish doing it, that is when the power is made manifest. And sometimes it may not take a week. It may take time. But it will certainly happen. No, because the devil knows that vows are very powerful, he tries to discourage you from one vowing the first place. You can be actually, you cannot pay the devil. He'll be speaking to you. And then he tries to frustrate the fulfillment of your vow, because he knows the power is in it. Who can I want now to be baby? Now, yeah, and I to be baby. So he tries, it's like fasting. Fasting is very powerful. The devil tries to stop you from fasting. But you still have to fast. And when you try to fast, he will try to destroy your fast, drinking food, quarrel, like anything that can make you stop your fast. But we still fast, isn't it? So vows are difficult, but we still need to fast. Because as fasting is powerful, but difficult, and you must still do it. That's how vows are powerful, but difficult, and we must still do it. Because it is a key to the supernatural. But you see, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4, the Bible says something. Let me read it for you as we write up to pray. That's my last point. As we write up to pray. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 4. Look at what the Bible says. Now, Eva, we are reading verse 4 and verse 5. And I want to read with everyone, okay? New King James 1, go. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in read it. I'm not preaching. I said read scripture. He has no pleasure in now continue. Pay what you have vowed. He says that when you make a vow, do not delay, because the power is in the paying of the vow. I advise you, do not delay. The power is in the pain. For he has no pleasure in fools. What does that mean? It means that payment of vow is wisdom. Say wisdom. That means that it takes a higher wisdom to pay your vow, even if you have other things competing for your money. Even though you have other equally important things competing for your attention. It is only somebody with a higher wisdom that will still choose that. Let me first settle God's own, and then I'll come back to you. Let me first settle. Let me finish with God and my wife. I'll come back to you. Or let me first finish with God and my family. I'll come. Or let me first finish with God. Then my own project. I'll come back to you. Let me first finish with God. Then I'll come back to my own needs. It takes a high. It's not natural wisdom. As I'm speaking, your mind is resisting what I'm saying. Hey, what are you talking about? Hey, the prepaid. Hey, the school fees. Hey, what are you saying? I'm reading the Bible. He said that God doesn't delight. God is not happy with fools. That means that not paying your vow or delaying to pay your vow is equal to something. Is equal to all being. It means it is foolishness. And in quotes, but Bible didn't put it in quotes, so I must not add to anything in the Bible. If I do, but God can punish me. Revelations, don't add that beauty. He says that, for he has no pleasure, do not delay, because God do not like fools. That means that somebody who vows and doesn't pay, God sees him as a fool. That means that somebody who pays his vow, God sees him to be wise. So when I got there, I put my Bible that I started thinking, I said, oh, what do you mean by that? That this thing you are saying is difficult, so how is it wise? Because we have needs to pay. Some of us are getting married. Some of us are doing some projects. Some of us are traveling. Some of us are going to school. Like, well, how wise is it? Why are you saying it is wise? It's not earthly wisdom. It's heavenly wisdom. Explain to me. Why is it wise? Then God told me that it is wise because one, when you seek first the kingdom of God, then the God who has power to do all things, including what you are about to do with that money, can turn around and do it for you without stress. Is it not wisdom? You are going to stress to do it. And it says that seek first the kingdom of God. And it right and all other things have been added. It's like the one who can help you. Seek his approval, get his support, then he will go and do what you can't do with that small money you have. Is it not wisdom? Is it not wisdom? And then secondly, he told them the reason why it is wisdom to pay vow and to pay it fast before you attend to other things is because after you vow, there are tests that you are supposed to overcome. There are tests you must pass. And it is wisdom for you to pay quickly because you have passed your test. You have passed your test. You have passed your test. And who shall say, Mommy, you have been done. If I said, Waro, the day you make that promise, you start meeting other good women. Tell you. You will start meeting more beautiful, more eloquent. The day you say that, oh, gentleman, I will marry you. That day, a certain guy you were crashing over in secondary school start calling you. A certain man you have been dreaming of, that you never put to you, will start WhatsApping you and start posting you. Oh, I tell you. Let me tell you, after I have printed out my wedding invitation, and I have sent my wedding invitation, a lady that I wanted to marry before I came back from the university called me and said, I'm now ready. I said, we're coming. You are not ready, saying. Then I sent my wedding invite to her. I said, look, I'm getting married. Long time. It's a temptation. I'm telling you, after I printed my invitation, that's when some crash V is now appearing. Wow. Now the old Shaboria home. And now, in such a beard, it's me back. And so, when you fulfill your vows quickly, it is wisdom because you have passed all the tests that are supposed to distract you. But the longer you wait, then trouble upon trouble, issue upon issue, here, this, that, you'll be shocked that you will not really be, and within mama, you won't get any blessing, you complain. Is there higher wisdom? Or ask somebody, is there higher wisdom? Or what pastor is talking about, you don't understand. What I'm teaching is not from the Bible. You can tell. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Tell somebody, pass your test. Because God is watching you. God is testing you. What are the tests? I will tell you on Sunday. That there are tests you are passing. If fulfill your vow, you overcome. How to pass? One of the tests for the test of faithfulness. How to be faithful to the woman I promised I was going to marry. How to be faithful? She didn't know that I was going through a test around that time. She didn't know. But I had to be faithful. That now is it my long time crush before meeting this one, or? This one who has loved me, now my long time crush has now been watching, she has now seen that I am beginning to do well, I'm doing church, I like things are working. She now believes in my vision. From beginning, she didn't believe. Those days when we come back from campus, and then he said, so where are you? We will be doing free nights. You remember what you've been doing? I used to do some. We're doing free nights. Now when we are talking free nights, he said, so where are you? I said, I'm in my pastor's house. What are you doing in your pastor's house? Oh, me? Yeah, I sleep in church. I sleep in my pastor's house. Like, me, I want to be a pastor. I want to be a pastor. Yeah. A pastor like how? Just said, boy, you're combat, you know. So, she did not agree to marry me. She didn't get me involved. Now, I can marry to go up with me. Because she saw that I can't go pursue this one. Like, I didn't hide it. And so, me, the DBM, and I'm missing out. We didn't pass that. Check. So, she liked me, but the fact that she saw that I was going to become a pastor. And it took her how many years? Final year. National service. Final year. National service. Bible school year one. Bible school year two. 4 years. Then, 5 years. The fifth year I was getting married. That was when she showed up. And it was a temptation, but I really like that. It's good. You overcome every temptation. So it is wisdom. It's wisdom. So fulfill your vows and fulfill your end. That you will not have anything to contend with. Hallelujah. Pass your test, okay? Of faithfulness. God is watching you. The way you are saying that, oh, I don't have money, I don't have money. But God is seeing how you are buying things for your own project, for your own program, for your own plans. God see how you are buying things to do your own assignment. How you are pushing money into your own thing. God is saying, I don't have money, I don't have money. Hey, Pastor, you don't have money. And you are not fulfilled to about to God. But God is seeing how you are sponsoring other things. You, me, I've not seen it. As for me, I know you don't have money. Not the one, but your pastor knows you don't have money. Come on, help me. Tell, you are preaching with me. Oh. Tell him, pastor knows you don't have money at all. In fact, I know you don't have money. Zero. There's nothing in your pocket. Me, I'm surprised when you bring money. Like, I'll be surprised. You say that I've never called you to bring your vow. I know you don't have money. I know it. So don't be worried. You are not the reason I'm preaching, oh, at all. Because I know you don't have money. But the one who sees all things knows how you are busily sorting your family out, busily sorting your traveling issues, busily sorting your new dress, busily sorting your projects, busily sorting your wedding, busily sorting anything that matters to you. God knows how you are busily sorting. Right? It's a higher wisdom to seek first the kingdom of God for God to take you back. The rest will clap your two hands. Rise up to your feet.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.